Lazy Hazy Summer Days, a Genshinpek podfic, written by Esther Yearn and read by Alani. Summary. Life advice. Hot weather isn't so bad if A. You've got a cryovision. B. One of your partners pretty much controls the weather of Fontaine.
It's amazing you can rest like this, says Clorand. Her voice doesn't change, but Risley doesn't need to open his eyes to know the expression that must be on her face. The imagining of it in his mind's eye alone is enough to bring a smile to his mouth when he says, "It's a nice day." And it is, by most definitions. The sun is in full radiance, a searingly blue sky, and a sticky stir of a breeze in his hair. A shadow falls over him, and Risley smiles wider. Enterprising citizens are attempting to fry eggs on the pavement of the court, while you are hearing two layers of fur. Now the notes of amusement and exasperation are blending together in Clorant's voice. Fine as any tea, he thinks she's looking down at him as she says it, impassive but for that telltale softness around her eyes. The one that says, "This man is a fool," and the one that says, "Woe is me to care for a fool." When he opens his eyes, it's exactly as he imagines.
Three layers of fur, actually.
Gets an eye roll from Clorand, but a handful of, admittedly fast melting, ice Risley holds up in a handkerchief is an acceptable apology to decency. Fontaine has no love for this kind of weather, but Risley does enjoy an unseasonably hot, humid day from time to time. There's no greater contrast to Meripid.
"Come, sit,"
he says, patting the ground next to him. Clorand wrinkles her nose, but obliges him. A few moments later, she holds out a hand. Risley pours her another handful of ice. The cicadas are a never-ending drone in the trees, and the melting ice drips steadily onto the soil, and the humidity sinks through his skin. Lazy, hazy summer days. He remembers one of the Maréchaussee Fenton complaining to Zygavin. The Malassins much preferring water in liquid gas form. Zygavin had left back, insulated by the metal walls and deep ocean around her. Clorant stretches out her legs, leans back against the stone. "You've been here all day?"
"Only since lunchtime,"
he answers, willing his vision into exerting an extra breath of frost around them.
"Would you like an early afternoon snack?"
Clorant leaves the cover of the picnic basket and peers inside. Risley packed the basket himself, so of course he knows what's there for her. One fruity trio, carefully plated up to survive the journey with the meringue intact, with an extra twist of lemon, the way she likes it, and some pas de huit dipped in sour frosting on the side. Her face stays expressionless, but her hands betray her. They're already reaching for the cutlery inside, fingers curling around the hilt of the knife. In moments, the fruity trio is a proper trio, sliced elegantly into three. Risley grins. He declines his slice when offered, his lunch earlier plenty to sustain him, but has leaked the taste of the dessert out of her mouth when she's done. Thorough, unhurried, as if they possess far more than the single half-day they have. Today, Clorand's lip gloss tastes like rainbow roses, her sand gunmetal mixed with something clean and sweet. Risley is more often been the cause of her laundry, not the solution, but the detergent is familiar. It's the same one for her sheets. When they break for air, he finds that the heat is getting to him after all, his cryovision insufficient to cool the pounding in his blood. Clorand is stifling laughter watching him shuck away the fur, but then she's unbuttoning his shirt for him, so Risley's hardly going to consider that a loss.
"Whoa,"
he says, when she's finished spraying him with sunscreen that she apparently just keeps in a pocket. In Risley's defense, the fortress of Meripid is not particularly known for its window views.
"Impressive."
Clorant smears additional sunscreen on his nose. "You know very well that tone only works on ovulate," she chides. "Many things, actually, work on ovulate when the legal system of Fontaine is not at stake. Like sad blubber beasts and crying crabs, and surprise presents from Alucins during a long workday. Sometimes
Risley wonders at the size of his heart. Mostly, he's just glad to be in there.
How is he? He asks. Busy?
Clorinde's eyes flick towards the Court of Fontaine, then stay in that direction. She narrows her eyes.
Not so busy,
she decides, as Risley scrambles up to squint in the same direction. His eyesight isn't quite as good as Clorinde's, but the Iodex has long legs, so he's striding into view soon enough. Like always, Novelet makes no concessions to the weather, his formal wear impeccable despite the heat. If he hadn't seen it with his own two eyes, he would wonder if the other had any ability to sweat at all. As it is, Risley has seen him gleam. It's quite wondrous indeed.
Come sit, monsieur,
he calls when Novelet is in hearing range.
I brought soup, though I warn you, it's gone through Zigavin's inventive hands.
Novelet's eyes crinkle at the corners.
I am duly warned,
he says solemnly, taking the picnic basket from Clorinde. He takes a seat in between them, and the humidity plummets, down and down until the very air lightens, and it becomes merely hot instead of muggy. Clorinde releases an audible sigh and bursts into Novelet's side, seeking the dewdrop cool quality of his skin. They slot together comfortably, so Risley has no qualms joining in by making a pillow out of Novelet's thighs. Novelet swabs the picnic basket from Risley's hand, his fingers smooth and cool in Risley's own. Now it's a really nice day. He says as much to Clorinde's exasperated sigh. Novelet, very kindly, humors him, a thumb running soothingly over his knuckles. Risley closes his eyes, basks in the sunlight of their presence, and lets his mind wander. Like he said, it's a really nice day. Only a few things could improve it into an extremely nice day, such as, for instance, it's too hot for most kinds of dinner, certainly too hot for the roasts or open campfire speeds that he and Clorinde are masters of. So, Novelet ought to be badgered into making his consommé. That has the side effect of being able to watch the Iodex in the kitchen with his sleeves rolled up, something he and Clorinde can split and savor like a bottle of fine wine. By then, the sun will have started to slip away, but the stone on the balcony will still be warm, a prime view. And after that, it would be a pity not to make use of Novelet's ludicrously large bed, or the bed that puts most swimming pools to shame. And from there...
How greedy, your grace, says Clorinde, approvingly.
Risley grins at her. They wait for Novelet's judgment with the long ease of those accustomed to the courtroom, watching deliberate Risley's thoroughly ironclad logic. Novelet, as always, never disappoints. The end.
Recorded for Polypod Week 2026, and also Voice the Mystery Box 2025! Because I am double-dipping here. This is the 15th installment in what I've dubbed the Yearningverse, lovingly named after the author Yesteryearn. Yesteryearn, thank you so, so very much for once again giving me permission to potfic this work of yours. I cannot begin to tell you how much I love and appreciate this ongoing collaboration we've found ourselves in. So yeah, thank you once again. Hope everybody enjoyed this potfic, and as always, don't forget to stretch, drink some water, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.